Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. We'll begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled McLean County Adds 37 Cases, Positivity Rate Steady. 37 more people were diagnosed with COVID-19 in McLean County as of Tuesday, while the county's positivity rate for the past week remained essentially the same. In addition, 108 more people have recovered from the novel virus. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported Tuesday that the 37 new cases mean that the county's positivity rate, the measurement of new cases as a percentage of tests for the week ending Monday, was 6.7%. The rate one day earlier was 6.6%, a decline after the positivity rate had consistently exceeded 8% for 2 weeks. That 8% rate was one reason that the county has been on the Illinois Department of Public Health's warning list for the past 2 weeks. The county's cumulative positivity rate of the more than 61,800 tests conducted since March was 4.8% on Tuesday. The 37 new cases mean that 96 county residents have been diagnosed with the novel virus so far this week, and 2,975 since March. Of those, 1,609 have recovered. In addition, 1,341 people are in isolation, 71 fewer than Monday. 7 people were hospitalized with COVID on Tuesday, including 2 in intensive care units. Both of those figures are unchanged from Monday. In addition, 18 McLean County residents have died of COVID. The most recent death was reported on Thursday. ISU reported on Tuesday that during the previous 7 days, 67 students had tested positive on campus for COVID-19 of the 1,078 students tested, for a positivity rate of 6.2%. That continues a decline that began earlier this week after double-digit rates were reported previous 2 weeks. Since testing began on campus on August 17th, 1,385 students have tested positive of the 7,685 students that were tested, ISU reported. That's a positivity rate of 18%. Consistent with the rate the day before, but lower than the 20% rate reported last week. McKnight has said that any possible COVID cases resulting from ISU students gathering a week ago to see YouTube personalities, the Nelk Boys, as well as from Labor Day gatherings, may not appear for up to 14 days after exposure. While ISU COVID results are included in the McLean County totals, they are not necessarily reflected on the same day. The university's daily reports reflect information from Reditus Laboratories, which performs the on-campus testing. The county numbers come from the Illinois Department of Public Health and include results from tests performed at multiple locations. There were 629 people tested Monday at the McLean County Fairgrounds site operated by Reditus Laboratories, according to the county's Emergency Management Agency. That site, open to anyone who can perform the nasal self-swab test, operates from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. EMA encouraged anyone who participated in a Labor Day weekend get-together to be tested for COVID because it takes several days for the virus to incubate to levels that can be detected by a test. Among other COVID-19 testing sites, state health officials announced this week that two mobile testing sites have opened in Bloomington Normal. A site outside at the ISU Alumni Center, 1101 North Main Street, Normal, is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Wednesday. A site outside Ferrero USA at 2502 Beck Road, Bloomington, which opened 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, will remain in operation from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Logan County Health Department reported 12 new COVID cases on Tuesday, bringing that county's total to 401. Of the 401, 326 have recovered. LaSalle County Health Department reported 10 new cases, increasing that county's total to 1,522. Of the 1,522 people, 945 have recovered. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,466 new COVID cases on Tuesday, including 20 deaths. The deaths included a Peoria County woman in her 60s, a Peoria County woman in her 70s, a Peoria County man in his 90s, a Macon County man in his 80s, and a Christian County man in his 90s. That brought the state's COVID totals to 264,210 cases and 8,332 deaths, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. The statewide positivity rate for COVID cases as a percent of total tests for the 7 days ending Monday was 3.6%. As of Monday night, 1,584 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID, with 373 of them in ICU. Western wildfires to worsen central Illinois air quality. Get ready for more hazy skies, dramatic sunsets, and a decline in air quality as smoke from western wildfires is carried above the Midwest and beyond. Right now, all the smoke is going up over the northern Rockies, across the plains, then going up, then back down over the Great Lakes, said James Otten, a meteorologist in the National Weather Service in Lincoln. We're going to get more of that tomorrow, today, as it sinks south. Central Illinoisans aren't the only ones seeing its impact. The jet stream is carrying the smoke all the way to the East Coast and beyond. Smoke and haze have been reported in New York, Boston, Maine, and even Germany. Satellite images this morning show smoke aloft moving over much of the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, the Weather Service's Baltimore, Washington office tweeted on Tuesday. At least 35 people have died in the wildfires. Because the smoke is so high in the atmosphere, we're not seeing a health effect in this region, Otten said. Air quality in all of central Illinois is considered good, with an air quality index in the high teens to 20 in Bloomington, Normal, Decatur, and Mattoon, Charleston. The good category ranges from 0 to 50, said Otten. However, the concern that we have is it might reach into the moderate category on Wednesday. The moderate category is 50 to 100, and central Illinois could be in the 50s, the lower end of the category, on Wednesday. That can cause respiratory issues for some people. But it's not going to be super bad like way out west in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, where air quality is in the unhealthy category, with some areas in the hazardous categories. Among cities in the hazardous category was Portland, Oregon, with an air quality of 341 on Tuesday morning. Smoke is only part of the problem. Other pollutants also are being spread by the massive wildfires. NASA has reported high-altitude concentrations of carbon monoxide that are more than 10 times above normal. NASA officials said carbon monoxide can persist in the atmosphere for about a month and can be transported great distances. Auten said air current patterns show little sign of changing. Hurricane Sally will not bring any rain to central Illinois, he said. In fact, it will block the progress of systems from west to east, and our area will see dry weather for at least the next 7 days. Today's Flick Fact, it's time for the Morton Pumpkin Festival. It launches this week, and the pumpkin harvest as well. After all the pumpkins grown in the rich farmland of central Illinois are picked for the Libby Company, how long does it take for them to be rounded up, transported, cleaned, skinned, processed, and ultimately canned at the Libby's pumpkin plant in Morton? The answer? To ensure freshness, in amazingly fast process honed over years of practice, Libby's pumpkins are canned the same day they're harvested out of the central Illinois fields. The Morton plant, by the way, processes 85% of all pumpkins grown in America. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, September 16th. It's the 260th day of 2020, and we have 106 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on September 16th, 1974, President Gerald R. Ford announced a conditional amnesty program for Vietnam War deserters and draft evaders. On this date in 1630, the Massachusetts village of Shawmut changed its name to Boston. In 1810, Mexico began its revolt against Spanish rule. In 1966, the Metropolitan Opera officially opened its new opera house at New York's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts with the world premiere of Samuel Barber's Anthony and Cleopatra. In 1982, the massacre of between 1,200 and 1,400 Palestinian men, women, and children at the hands of Israeli-allied Christian Falange militiamen began in West Beirut's Sabra refugee camp. In 1987, 24 countries signed the Montreal Protocol, a treaty designed to save the Earth's ozone layer by calling on nations to reduce emissions of harmful chemicals by the year 2000. And how time flies locally, from the back pages of the Pantograph 100 years ago, September 16th, 1920. The Jefferson Street rail crossing at Robinson Street has been reopened. It had been closed to accommodate construction of the Washington Street underpass. Nearby Davis Street has also suffered, and the city has agreed to pave it when the underpass construction is done. 75 years ago, on September 16, 1945, a Lexington woman was killed in a fire after she reportedly tried to light her kitchen stove with kerosene. A 7-year-old daughter received burns, but 2 other children were unhurt. The house, however, burned to the ground. 50 years ago, September 16, 1970, Bloomington's new fire chief is Daryl Harden. He's been an assistant chief and was acting chief since last June. Harden succeeds Roland Barand, who retired September 1st and died last Friday. The new chief is still subject to city council confirmation. And 25 years ago, September 16th, 1995, the National Weather Service is preparing to go live with its new facility at Lincoln. In addition to issuing watches and warnings for severe weather, the Central will also provide Doppler radar for a 30-county region in Illinois. Ferraro hosts test site. A new mobile COVID-19 testing site at Ferraro USA in Bloomington will be open for the next 3 days. Local officials and representatives of Ferraro USA on Tuesday announced the opening of a drive-up site where people can be tested for coronavirus for free. At 2501 Bike Road in Bloomington, it is the second mobile testing site that's opened in the Twin Cities this week. It will be open only temporarily, Tuesday through Thursday. "It is a whole different world now," said Mayor Terry Renner. "It's got to be part of our series of actions to try to hold down the incidence of COVID in our community." Bloomington and Normal city officials are communicating daily with the McLean County Health Department about the virus, Renner said. Bailey Heinz, site manager, said patients can expect to remain in their vehicle and a staff member will ask that they fill out a waiver. On the waiver is the number for a hotline they will call to give all of their information to before taking the test, Heinz said. "It only is about a 2 to 3 minute call, and then we will be getting their test kit ready. State identification is not required. Insurance is optional. We will test anyone of all ages, infants to elderly," she said, "any county, any town." Giorgio Pasquale, Ferraro vice president, said the company is pursuing several initiatives related to the pandemic. "We do believe that the people appreciate the fact companies are helping to be more aware of what is happening with COVID," Pasquale said. "If things go smoothly with the testing site over the next few days that it is open," Pasquale said, "they might consider having it stay open longer." McLean County health officials on Tuesday announced 37 new cases. The rolling positivity rate as of Monday was 6.7%. Illinois State University reported on Tuesday that during the previous 7 days, 67 students had tested positive on campus for COVID-19, with a positivity rate of 6.2%. Cases resulting from students gathering for YouTube personalities and from Labor Day may not appear for another 2 weeks. "It would be really harmful to our community if we had to move back a phase and shut down," Renner said. Potential mask ordinances don't appear to be in the near future for Normal or Bloomington City Councils. "I would support a mask ordinance. I don't think it would hurt, but I don't think there is a majority support on either council at this time," Renner said. County's property tax to remain steady. McLean County property owners may pay about the same for county government's share of their tax bill in 2021 as they did this year if the county board members approve a proposed budget. The county board meeting virtually and at the government center on Tuesday night listened to an overview by County Administrator Camille Rodriguez of the tentative budget for the fiscal year that begins January 1st. The proposal will be discussed in October by county board committees before the county approves the budget in November. "I think you're all going to like this budget as you go through it," County Board Chairman John McIntyre told the board. The tentative budget projects a tax rate of 0.91376 per $100 equalized assessed valuation, compared with a rate for taxes payable this year of 0.91375 per $100 equalized assessed valuation. That means the owner of a $165,000 house who paid $502.56 for the county's share of their tax bill would pay 1 cent more next year. The recommended budget of $104,485,833 is balanced, Rodriguez said. That's an increase of 0.09% or $98,000 over this year's budget, she said. The tentative budget also calls for a 1% salary increase for county employees in January and another 1% increase in July, Rodriguez said. The county has about 820 employees in departments ranging from the Sheriff's Office to the Health and Highways Department to the new mental health services. The county's projected tax levy is $36,922,684, an increase of $544,287 as a result of an increase in the EAV. Rodriguez said after the board meeting that she was optimistic about the budget. She and Cassie Taylor, assistant county administrator, said the budget is balanced, even during the COVID pandemic, for several reasons. We've always been very conservative in McLean County about our budget process, Rodriguez said. County department heads were asked to delay unnecessary capital expenses and reduce their supplies requests by 4% while maintaining staff levels. In addition, county government relies more on property taxes. Governments that rely more on sales taxes are hurting as sales declined during the first several months of the COVID pandemic, Taylor and Rodriguez said. The proposed budget represents the efforts of McLean County government's leadership and staff as we all work together during a pandemic, strong and ready to serve the vibrant McLean County community, Rodriguez said. Also at the meeting, McIntyre read a resolution of appreciation for County Board Member Carlo Robastelli. Robastelli, who's been on the board since 2013 and is Assistant Vice President for Placement at Illinois Wesleyan University, is relocating to become Vice President for Advancement at Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. His last day on the board will be September 30th. Democrats from County Board District 8 may apply at the County Administrator's Office to complete the balance of Robastelli's term, which runs until December. McIntyre will recommend a replacement to the board next month. College Board adopts budget. The Heartland Community College Board on Tuesday approved a nearly $32.6 million operating budget for the coming fiscal year, a 2.1% increase over last year. The budget includes a projected deficit of about $543,000. More than 70% of the operating budget, $23.4 million, goes to employee compensation. Tuition and fees provide 43.7% of the district's operating revenue. Local support provides 43.4% of the revenue. State support contributes about 7.5% of the operating fund revenue. And the remainder comes from federal funds, continuing education, and other sources. The board also reviewed the final draft of the proposed update of its facilities master plan. The plan includes projects with a total estimated cost of $114.7 million to $158.4 million, but being included in the master plan does not mean a project will be undertaken. The plan is designed to cover potential projects in the next 20 years. President Keith Cornile said as the college moves toward taking on projects in the plan, they will be brought to the board separately. Identifying community needs was part of the update process. At the October meeting, the board will be asked to approve the plan for submission to the Illinois Community College Board. The board requires community colleges to file an updated facilities master plan every 5 years. Heartland's plan identifies 5 priority areas: an agriculture complex, career and technical education, health sciences, science labs, and creation of a one-stop shop for enrollment, student services, and student life. Michael Lundeen, a principal with Legat Architects, which oversaw the update process, said it means to be flexible, but at the same time provide an outline for the future. The meeting started with a moment of silence and reflection for Greg Chadwick, a board member for 18 years and chair for 11 of those years, who died last week while awaiting a heart transplant. A celebration of life is planned outside of the college starting at 3 p.m. Friday with remarks from Mark First, where he was chief operating officer. Remarks at 4 p.m. from people at Heartland, and remarks at 5 p.m. from the Illinois Community College Trustees Association, of which Chadwick was president for this academic year. Bloomington's 5-day forecast today will be mostly sunny and nice, with a high expected of 80 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy, with a low temperature of 60 degrees. Thursday, there will be times of clouds and sun, temperatures ranging between 71 and 48 degrees. Friday will be cooler, with clouds and sun. The high temperature is expected to be 65 and the low 45 degrees. Saturday will be mostly sunny and cool, temperatures ranging between 66 and 46 degrees. And Sunday will be mostly sunny and delightful, temperatures ranging between 71 and 50 degrees. Crime Stoppers: man wanted for failure to notify a fixed address. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who's wanted for felony charges. Brian R. Trost, 24, is 5 feet 11 inches tall and weighs 172 pounds. He has black hair and blue eyes. His last known address is in Bloomington, Illinois. Trost is wanted for failing to notify a fixed address. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or any other crime to Crime Stoppers, please call 309-828-1111. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for September 16th, 2020. Please stay tuned.